Take your Bible and go to Psalms, the 51st chapter. I want to talk to you a little bit before we start reading the scriptures about David. David was a young man. He took care of his father's sheep, and he was a little bitty guy. Kind of like a little guy like that Matthew's boy back there. Kind of tall, but all of that. Aaron, quit playing on that thing. But anyhow, he was tall, and he's a little ruddy feller, but he went out and took care of his father's sheep, and his father's sheep, and the old lion come down out of the mountain and was going to attack his father's sheep. He grabbed him by the whisker and killed him through the power of God. And then a bear did, and he killed him. And then he went to a battle where his brothers was fighting. His dad sent him to a battle to take some food to his brothers and find out what was going on. And he went out there, and you're this army of the Lord. This army who had all the power in the world because God was on their side. Now these was chosen men of Israel. These was the mighty men of Israel. And here was King Saul, who was afraid of this giant, Goliath, afraid of him. And here was this little runny boy. He wasn't afraid of him because he knows the battle was the Lord's. And he went out there and he heard old Goliath come out and challenge the army of God. And he said, boys, ain't you going to fight him? Well, no. And his oldest brother said, listen, go on home. I know how prideful you are and all of that and how you want to put on a show. Now, this is a paraphrase. Okay. Don't go out here and say Logan said the Bible said it put on a show. But anyhow, they took the word to the king. Hey, there's a little boy here named David. He said he would fight the giant. Now, this giant's spearhead weighed 20 pounds. But this little guy said he'll fight the giant. And so the king called him up there and put his uniform and put his armor on him and all that. And David said, can't hardly wear that. And so he took it off. He said, I've tried this. I'll use my sling. And he looked at that giant. What would you have done? I really want you to put yourself in the place of David. Would you know that God would win the battle for you? Or would you have ran from that giant? Now, you all got to have giants in your life. There's going to be giants there that you're going to have to conquer in your life. All of us have them. As we really do, people, we have giants in our life. Used to be, sometimes my wife was my giant. I mean, you know how them women are. They can nag and nag. No more. My wife never did do that. I better take that back. Forgive me, God, I lied. But here's David. What did he do? He went over and ran. He was running towards a giant. He stopped in the brook and got him 5 stones. What did he do that for? Goliath had 4 brothers. He thought he might have going to have to kill them. I mean, David wasn't afraid of him. He ran right towards him. And the giant, Goliath, said, am I a dog that you send a boy out to fight me? And David said, hey, the battle is the Lord's. He took that little old sling and that rock in it, and he slung that sling, and he hit that old giant right there, and he fell back dead as a doornail. That's the only way he can die, is dead as a doornail, ain't it? He fell back. And what did David do? He didn't have a sword. He ran up and grabbed Goliath's sword and cut off his head. What happened to the army of the Philistines? They ran. They was afraid of a little boy who come in the name of the Lord. Church, we have the name of the Lord. If we're preaching the truth, we need to take the message to all the world. That's what we need to do. Why are we so passive? What we walk around on tennis shoes for, like, ooh, I don't say nothing. Don't do nothing. You'll make somebody mad. I don't know why we do that. But David then becomes fighting the Philistines and fighting for the children of Israel. And the people start singing a song. Saul killed his 1,000, David his 10,000. And Saul got jealous of David. Was jealous of him. Somebody told me one time, said, if your ministry starts doing good, Logan, there'll be preachers jealous of you. I said, why? Aren't we all in the same business, seeking and saving the lost? They said, yeah, but they're jealous of you. They'll be jealous of you. And so I found out that was true sometimes. And at Hanover, we started clapping when somebody was baptized. They said we become liberal because we clapped. I mean, unreal. People are unreal to me. Complainers cannot build the church. It's God's men and women who love the Lord and stay faithful to the Lord and do the will of God that builds the church. We need to understand that. Now let's get into our sermon. So David comes to a place in his life. He has arrived. He thinks. And so he sends his general Joab and all of them out to battle. And he is AWOL because he's supposed to lead his army. And he's not there. And he's in the wrong place at the wrong time. And so he's up on the housetop. And this young lady's over there on her housetop bathing. Bathsheba, she's over there bathing. And he looks. There's a difference in looks and seeing, men. Did you know that? If you're going down the road, you got to see. But if there's a good-looking woman over to the side of the road, you just keep looking ahead. You don't go do this. That's looking. That's what looking is. That's right. And then you lust. And you know what? You cannot sin unless it first happens in the heart. Cannot do it. You cannot sin unless it first happens in the heart. Today, we're in trouble because we're shaking everybody in. We are. People are not repenting. People are not getting it right with God. But David understood. David understood that he had to return to God. David understood that he was the one that had sinned. And he was the one that had to confess it to God. He was the one that had to get down on his knees and pray to God. And he prayed to God and he prayed to God that God would forgive him. And this is his prayer here that he prays. He says this. Hearken, Psalms 51. You see, is that the verse I want? That's the chapter. That's Isaiah. That won't work. Psalms 51. See how nervous you all make me, you preachers. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. See, he knew the one he had to go to. He did not blame his sister or his mother or his brother about what he had sinned. He came, he knew that he had to get it right with God. Men, sometimes us preachers need to get it back right with God and start doing the things that we used to do when we first fell in love with the Lord. We need to do that. And here's David. David understood. He didn't go to Bathsheba and apologize. He couldn't go to Uriah because he done had him killed. Can you imagine this one sin, what it led to? He sent for Uriah after he had committed adultery with his wife and said to Uriah, "Hey, Uriah, go down and see your wife," because he'd found out that she was pregnant. What did Uriah do? He went down and slept at his doorstep. He didn't go in. So David gave him another chance, another night, to go down and sleep. But he slept there with the guards, and that night he slept there at the palace. He didn't go down. And so David devised, they said he didn't go down to his wife. He didn't sleep with her. Uriah said, "My soldiers are in battle, and I'm not going to sleep with mine because they can't theirs." And so David gave him a letter, his death sentence. Said to Joab, and give this to Joab. And the letter said, put him in the front of the line so he may die. That's what David, he didn't say it in the letter. But everyone was in front of the line. He was leading the army. He was a captain. He died. So from committing adultery, from trying to hide it and cover it up, there was murder also. There was lying also. Why do we think that we can hide things from God. What was it? We've heard all kinds. Boy, Carrie Allen did a good job last night. He preached the truth. But anyhow, why do we think we can hide from God? As Mark said, he took half of my sermon. God's everywhere. I mean, he's everywhere. Don't you realize that? I tell the kids in the back of the car, when you're in the back of the car, don't be naked and making out. Pull out Acts 2:38 and read to the person you got in the car with you. That's what we need to do. But David understood that it was only God that could forgive him. Notice what he goes on to say in that first verse. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto thy multitude of tender mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Remember how it is, guys, when you got forgiveness of sins and you was living for the Lord and you wasn't letting Satan in and things was just going so good and Satan was just kind of needling you. He'll do that. I mean, even because you have the Holy Spirit. Now, Satan can't get into you if you have the Holy Spirit, but he can affect your mind. Mom used to say, the bird can pass over, Logan, but don't let him build a nest in your hair. Don't let the thoughts stay there, what she was saying. Don't let them stay there. And so I didn't. I mean, whenever the devil got after me, I quoted verses of Scripture. She always told me that. Said, hey, Satan can't stand the Scripture quoted. Quote verses of Scripture, he'll leave you alone. I mean, when I was a kid, I was a rotten little brat. I was. I'll be honest with you. I did. I was sneaky. I sneak around. I heard all kinds of stuff these old people said. Some of it they shouldn't have told me, because I went and told on them. I did. But I'd sneak around. This one lady said to me, Logan Fugate, you don't have me fooled. She said, I know you're a sneaky little brat. She said, you might have these old women fooled, but you don't have me fooled. Aaron, turn that off. But anyhow, David understood that God was one who forgave. Notice what the second verse says. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Now the part I really like is coming up. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Men, God, if we'll do it his way, gives us a second chance. He gives us a second chance if we do it his way. Blot out our sins. Our transgressions is ever before me. Not if God blots them out. If we understand the things of God and when we repent and we are a Christian. Now I'm talking to Christians this morning. I'm not talking to the world. Again, thee and thee only. Now this verse amazed me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Come on! He had Uriah killed. He had committed adultery with Bathsheba. What do you mean he just sinned against God? He did. If he hadn't sinned against God, Uriah would still be alive. And Bathsheba would still have been his wife. Now think about that. Think, God, if he is your God, he is on your side, you can't do a sin unless you sin against God. And you never can do wrong and make it right. Right cannot be made by doing wrong. People try to tell me, oh yeah, God's in that. I had a man one time that, let me tell you this. We went to a revival one time. I took 60 people in a bus over there and Norse Gammons drove it. And went in this revival and sat down and this lady got up. She said this song has two meanings. You know what the song was? Del to Don. And this elder's wife sitting next to me. She said, Logan, what's the two meanings? I said, sin, sin. That's the two meanings. It's about a woman looking for a man with a suitcase in her hand. And you know what? A preacher said amen to that. So when we got in the bus, I stood up and I said, I want to tell you people something. If you try that on me, you're going to be embarrassed. And he was. He never tried it. But think about David and think about God. See, men, I think today that we have brought God down to where we want him. He is God just for us and not for everybody. He is God. He's not up there in heaven. His ways is not higher than our ways and all of that. We brought him down to us. And we don't have the respect for God anymore. We really don't. David had the respect for God. He understood what God could do. And because the people did not punish David, God did. God's people didn't punish. You read in some of that. God's people wouldn't punish David, but God took care of it. Remember, his son was sick, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and his son died. And he looked over in the corner, and the servants are talking, afraid to tell him that his son is dead. David asked him, said, my son die? Yep. What did he do? He got up, took a bath, changed clothes. Thank you. If you come to church, please put your best on and change clothes for the Lord. Amen. Two or three of you believe that. But anyhow, David went to the temple to pray. And he said, I can go to him, but he can't come back to me. Because of David's sin, he had all kind of trouble with his family the rest of his life. His son drove him out of the kingdom one time, the palace. He did. Think about this. But David knows the only forgiveness he had to get was from God. Because he sinned against God, he had done all these other things. It goes on to say in the fifth verse, behold, I have been shaped in thy iniquity, and in sins did my mother conceive me. Now somebody said to me that baby has sin. That baby don't have sin. You don't have sin until you reach the age of accountability to know right wrong. That baby is safe until it reaches the age of accountability. Amen? It's exactly right. I mean, come on. And so he goes on. He said, behold, the desired truth in the inward part. Hey, men, don't just clean up the outside of the cup as the Pharisees did, but clean up the inside. That's what we need to clean up. If the inside's right, the outside will be right. Somebody said God looks on the heart. He does. But if the heart's right, the dress will be right. It will be. I mean, come on, let's get this thing right. And in the hidden parts, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop. I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. See, I understood that when I was baptized. I know that if God washed me, he forgave me my sins. He washed them away as far as the east is from the west. And he gave me his Holy Spirit. I was clean. Because I had to be cleaned up before the Holy Spirit could come in. David knows that, hey, he's almost ready. God's almost ready to take his spirit away from him, and he don't want that to happen. Now, it took him a long time to get here. A lot of things had to happen to get him here, but he finally got there, realizing his forgiveness had to come from God. And it goes on to say, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean, and wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear the joy and gladness that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. It's awful try to live in two worlds. You know, it's awful. I'm in the world, but we're not to be what? Of the world. We're not to be of the world. And it's, Christian, if you're trying that, you're all men most miserable. You can't do it. You can't do it. When I was in construction, I had a hard time staying there on the job because I wanted to preach. And when I was preaching, I felt guilty because I was letting my partners down on the job because I wasn't doing what I was supposed to there. So I got out of it and went into preaching. I was wrong maybe to stay in there as long as I did with my partners. They took care of it. They didn't care, but I did. Right's right and wrong's wrong. And David understood he had to go right to the throne room of God, because God had anointed him, the prophet Samuel had anointed him to be king over Israel, and God had given him his Holy Spirit, and he had sinned against God when he done all these awful sins that he did. It goes on to say, make me to hear the joy and gladness. I read that one. That the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all of my iniquities. Man, I really have a desire for the church today. I'm not saying all of us, but I think sometimes I've been guilty of it too. If we're going to allow somebody to become members of the body of Christ, they need to believe the truth. They need to believe the truth. Because if they're not believing the truth, they're going to be lost. And if we're allowing that to go on, I'm not sure that we're not going to be lost. I really believe that. And it's a burden to me today. You know, when my family was growing up, I didn't worry about my family. They pretty well listened to old dad or mom. Just ask Mark. I mean, he listened. That woman, boy, she had a switch. I mean, I'd come home and my older boys would just have weeps all over them. I'd say, you're beating my kids to death. She said, they're not going to act like everybody else's kids. And Mark and all of my boys right today have a lot of respect for their mother. They do their dad too, but a dad was always gone preaching somewhere. But when I come home, if they had done something mama didn't want to take care of, it got taken care of. I remember I was spanking Mark and Mike one time. Mark said, Dad, I've had enough. I said, I'm beating the devil out of you, Mark. He said, the devil left a long time ago. Why do we think that we can treat God the way we do sometimes? Aren't we his children? Don't he chasten us sometimes? He did David here. I mean, David understood God. I really messed up. See, I believe that there's consequences to sin. I mean, you might become a Christian, and if you've done something like murder somebody, you might go to the electric chair. Matter of fact, my grandpa said, don't ever let anybody put wires on you, Logan. And they did. But consequences to sin, and David understood that. And David understood that he had to get this thing back right with God. It was God that he had to please now. He had to repent. He had to have a broken heart. I think today we're so proud and so arrogant in America, we don't think we're to bow down to anybody. But my friends, you'll either bow to Jesus or you won't go to heaven. We bow down to Jesus. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And here it is. Restore the joy of thy salvation upon me with thy free spirit. Teach me, it goes on to say, this. Then will I teach transgressors their way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. My friend, if you're living like the devil through the week, don't witness for Jesus. Don't witness for Jesus. It's a reproach on him. You're bringing dishonor to him if you're living like the world. I had a young boy say to me one time, he said, Logan, I'm going over there and witness to this guy, and I'm going to drink a beer with him, and I'm going to tell him about Jesus. I said, let me tell you something. The moment you drink that beer with that young man, you've lost your witness. And he said to me, he said, no, I'm going to do it. He went over there, and he started witnessing to the boy, and the boy was listening. And the boy said, I know that you don't want a beer, but he said, yeah. The boy said, I'll take a beer with you. And then, you know what he said to him after that? He said, why should I listen to you? You're doing the same thing I'm doing. He come back with his head down. He said, "Logan, you're right." He told me I was just like him. Friends, listen. When I first started preaching, all I knowed was God's Word. That's all I know. I mean, I come up the hard way. Mark was in college. I couldn't send myself to college. I took a lot of correspondence course, and I had a guy by the name of Dick McKinley, or I call him Richard McKinley. Had a doctorate degree, and he taught me. You know what he used to do? He used to sneak in late at Sunday evening service, and I was up there leading the same stuff, and I have to preach. He'd always come in 10 minutes late, like he had had a hospital call that he couldn't make it back in time. I said, "Richard, you're not fooling me. I know what you're doing. You're letting me learn to preach. You're letting me be taught how to preach." And man, people had to love me when I first started preaching. They had to love me. I mean, I was unreal. And some of you was too. I heard your first sermon. I didn't hear Curry Allen's first sermon, but I heard one last night. But look at this, guys. If you're going to try to teach somebody how to be converted, make sure you're converted yourself. Make sure you're converted yourself. I was out calling one night in Hanover. I taught the young men how to baptize people, and they baptized all the time. I mean, the doors was open all the time. And I had a lady call me one day. She said, "Reverend Fugit." I said, "Hello, what do you need?" She said, "Do you realize that them young men down there are baptizing people all night and it's supposed to be the reverend?" I said, "Well, first of all, I'm not a reverend." "Unless you mean R-E-V, rest, eat, and visit." Now, I'm a reverend then. "But we're the only reverence God, lady." And I said, "Them boys have the same right as I do to immerse someone into Christ if they believe the same hour of the night." But look at David here. Let's get back to David. The one who had killed the giants. The one he had killed, they sung the song of 10,000. The one the people loved. Come to a low point in his life. How is it that we only want God when we're down and out, Christians? Why is it we simply really only call on him when we're in the hospital and maybe need the Lord? We can really, I could, when I was in the hospital, I could draw close to the Lord. But when God give me good health and everything, it's pretty easy to slip away and not thank God for what we have. It is. David did that. God had given him, and God said one place, he said, "David, why don't you ask? I mean, I would give you whatever you wanted. You didn't have to go out and sin to do that." But David, you know, like a lot of preachers and elders and deacons do, they're on cloud nine, they're number one, and they can do whatever they want to do. See, I understand where my strength comes from. It's God. I understand that this book is God's Word. And I understand, men, you need to be careful what you make it say. I had a preacher friend one time say to me, "Logan, what do you see when you're preaching the Word?" I said, "I see Jesus in that Word." He said, "Don't make him say something he don't say." Now, men, is it time for you to repent? Is it time for you and me to get things right with the Lord? Harvey Hacker and me baptized an old preacher. Had preached harder as we did, or maybe harder than we did. I mean, he was a go-getter. We baptized him into Christ, and he said, "Guys, I believe everything you say." He said, "I preached that for years, but I wasn't baptized into Christ for the right reason." He'd been baptized in a denominational church to join their fellowship. Now, he preached it all his life. 38 years he'd been preaching. He was an old man now. And he said, "I want you guys to immerse me into Christ." And we did. We immersed him into Christ. For the remission, I said, for the remission of his sins, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you don't go that way, you're not going to get to heaven. You're not going to get to heaven unless you go that way. Lady in Chicago, her son was on trial for murder. They pronounced the sentence guilty. Death by electrocution. She said, "No, not my son. Not my son. He's my son. He don't deserve that." Yes, he did. He killed a man. And a life for a life, the Bible says, don't it? That's what God said in the Old Testament. A life for a life. Jesus is our Savior right now. He wants us to go to heaven more than anything. He died on our old rugged cross for that reason. I could use David as an illustration, but we're in the New Testament. He died on an old rugged cross so that Logan Fugit could go to heaven. Not Fugit, Fugit. Could go to heaven. He died on an old rugged cross so that you could go to heaven, people. And he's the only one is the propitiation for our sins. He's our mercy seat. Preachers, I'll be honest with you. I've had to repent several times. I've done things wrong. An old man said to me one time, "You're a preacher. You need to repent." I said, "Yeah, I need to repent." And I repent every time Rose gets after me. And I sure repent when God gets after me. How's your heart this morning with the Lord? How's the control center with the Lord? Is your heart like David was? You need a little refining on the heart. You need a little extra juice shot to your heart. How's that this morning, preachers? See, I was an elder. I can talk to you elders and deacons. I was a deacon. I come up through the ranks. Get mad at me if you want to. I've seen some elders need to repent. I've seen some deacons needed to repent. I've seen some evangelists really needed to repent. What about it, guys? Let's get this thing right. Up here on the mountain, the Lord's teaching us to pray. We want to go to heaven, don't we? God hears our prayers if we're his people. If my people will humble themselves and seek my face, I will hear from heaven. And why? Heal their land. But first of all, it says, my people needs to confess what? Their iniquities? Oh, I got away with that. I've heard preachers say. I got away with that. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. There's a day coming. There's a day coming when we're going to stand before Jesus. We didn't get away. God allows things to happen today that maybe he didn't allow in the Old Testament. If God dealt with us today the way he did in the Old Testament, I probably wouldn't be here. He'd probably already zapped me. But he don't. He loves us. He gave his son for us. He commended his love towards us while we was just sinners. Christ died for us. Come on, man. Let's get this thing right. It might be that we need an invitation to him right now. It might be that we need to get this thing right and confess things to God. You don't have to come up here to repent. You can do it right in your seat. But if you want us to pray for you, you've got to come up here. What about your life? Is it right with the Lord? That's why we're here. If it's not, why not? Curry said last night he had to believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Peter said the same thing on the day of Pentecost when the church started, or the New Testament started. Said the same thing. What about your life this morning? Let's go off of this hill full of fire and vinegar and, man, just tire the country upside down where we're at. Let's love the Lord so much that people can tell it in us that there goes a Christian because of the things he does. Where are you at this morning with Jesus?